do.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Pauly and Mark Melusis, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch back on Monday on vacation. Six preseason games tonight. The third Field of Dreams game as well in Iowa. And we'll see if the World Cup fever can carry over. And let's get nuts with soccer as lower league soccer gets underway. First match is tomorrow, and then everyone else plays Saturday and Sunday. We are going English Championship League, League One, and League Two today with the Meat Man. Futures, and then some sides and totals in the second segment. Next week, the Premier League gets underway. He does an excellent job. He's been with us for many years. He's at Meat Man Soccer on X, Because We Win Pod. He's on the Progressive guest line. Great to talk to you, my friend. So, Championship League, you had a couple teams that were relegated. Again, this is the league beneath the Premier League. Wolverhampton, one of those teams that was relegated with a bad performance. I think relegation is the best thing in all of sports. What do you think of Wolverhampton's odds now to win this and go back up and take it to crown down with the Championship League?
Good day to you guys. Yeah, I can't believe the new season's come around already. I mean, really, what I've got to talk about is a crucial statistic. In each of the last seven seasons, at least one team who got relegated from the Premier League has gone straight back up.
Okay.
The first time of asking. At least one team. So there's a big trend for teams that come down, even if they don't look very good, they may well bounce back. But be careful, in the last two seasons, both Luton and Leicester have gone back-to-back relegations. So it can go one way or the other with relegation, I think. And this is a big trend today, actually, in a lot of the leagues and the picks I'm talking about, because a lot depends, I think, when you are officially relegated. Teams that know their fate early can prepare for next season much sooner. But sometimes these grueling relegations are really brutal on teams when they lose players, they lose morale. So it depends. For me, Wolves, I think they're a great shout to come straight back up. And they're a great bet to win the league at plus 600. Everyone's talking about West Ham. There's a lot of pressure on West Ham, though, because they're probably the biggest team to come down to the Championship. Well, since Leeds, really. But Wolves, I mean, Wolves knew they were going to go down from Christmas.
Yeah.
So they've been able to sort of prepare the backroom team, the transfers and stuff like that. They actually changed their manager in the summer. Cesar Peixoto has come in, a Portuguese manager. There's a good record of Portuguese managers at Wolves. They've signed Raul Jimenez, a former player of theirs, Mexican international. He should be far too good for the Championship. And, you know, Wolves, the fan base, they kind of lost the fan base last season, but I think they're starting to get it back. I would rather bet on Wolves because I think the pressure on West Ham is so high. West Ham would just take coming back up. They're not bothered about winning the league, West Ham. They just want to get in the top two or even if it goes via the playoffs. So for me, Wolves are the value. Plus 600 to win the Championship this season.
Excellent.
There's a lot to like about them.
Okay, very good. How about Wrexham? They almost did it after they went back-to-back-to-back-to-back years of getting promoted. They just fell short. What do you think of Ryan Reynolds and Wrexham this year?
Quite like them, actually. I nearly put them up to be promoted, but ultimately, I think there's probably four or five better teams than them. But they're getting better and better each year. They're obviously a team in the headlights a lot, in the limelight a lot.
Yep.
Because of who's owning them. But they seem to like that. The players seem to like that. The fans like that. And I think they'll go well. I think they can actually, they just missed out on the playoffs last season. I think this season they can get in the playoffs, Wrexham. And I wouldn't want to put off anyone betting on them to be promoted. But I don't see them anywhere near the top two. But I think they could sneak into the playoffs.
Everything we're talking about here is available at DraftKings, FanDuel, Will Hill and Caesars. Will Hill and Caesars have an incredible menu with lower league soccer. And Will Hill offers in-play on all those matches as well that starts Saturday morning. How about a pick to be relegated?
I'm going Charlton Athletic here. Plus 137 might not be everyone's cup of tea for a season-long bet where you've got to tie your money up for 9 months, but they look in trouble to me. I mean, last season alone, I'm going to give you three reasons to bet on Charlton to go down. On the field, off the field, and transfers.
Mm-hmm.
On the field last season, they had the second worst expected goals for. They had the second worst expected goals against. So they're very lucky to stay up last season. Off the field, the club is up for sale. So the owners want rid. Now, that's never a good sign, Paulie, because you worry about where their investment is going to go. Do the owners really want to bring in players and spend money on their wages and salary? And if you look at the current transfers for Charlton Athletic, okay, there's still 2-3 weeks left of the window. It doesn't look very good. They're not improving the team. If anything, they're getting worse. I like the manager, Nathan Jones, but he has a history of jumping ship. He could easily resign, or another club might come in for him, and he would definitely move if he had a better option. So I think Charlton, I think it's their year to go down. They were lucky last season, plus 137. I think they are going to be in the bottom three.
All right, excellent. Let's get to League One. Let me start with this. Sheffield Wednesday, one of the worst seasons ever. The manager couldn't make payroll. They only won 2 matches, I think, the entire season. They were relegated. What's going on with Sheffield Wednesday with League One now, and what just been a terror? It was one of the worst years ever for a club last year.
Much better situation they're in now. They're more settled. The fans are with the club once more after the protest last season. But there's a lot of players in and out of the club. There's a lot of sort of turmoil. I think the expectations for the fans are finishing the top 10 minimum, hoping to get in the top six. To be brutally honest, Paulie, I find them one of the most difficult teams in all three leagues to predict right now.
Okay.
So I'm just going to be a watching brief. Let's see how they get on for the first few weeks.
All right. Sounds good. How about who wins League One? How about a pick at 7-1?
This won't surprise you. I'm going Luton Town. They won 9 of the last 12 last season. Last 12 matches were unbeaten last season. They were unfortunate not to get in the playoffs. If they'd gone in there, I think they'd have won the playoffs. Looked really sharp last week in the cup match against Gillingham, won that 3-0. They've got Casey Palmer, and he was the crucial player, really, who turned around their fortunes last season. Scored 8 goals in 10 games. They were third best in expected points for the season. Really nice and settled. Second season in charge for Jack Wilshere, who's the manager. I think Luton looked good. Plus 700 to win this league. I don't trust Leicester at all. I think they could take a bit of time to get going under their new manager. So I'm going Luton Town. It's been no surprise to regular viewers, but I think they can. I think they can get close to the 100-point mark here this season. Luton Town.
What a fiasco that is. That's the reason I started watching soccer was the Leicester City story, and they win the Prem at like 500, or 100,000 to 1, 500 to 1, whatever it was, and now they're stuck in League One. Who gets promoted? How about a 6-1 shot?
I like Bradford. Bradford City plus 600. Two reasons, three main reasons, really. Great home record last season. 15-5-3 at home they were. It's one of the biggest stadiums in the league. It's actually the fifth biggest in the league. Now, of course, that means nothing if you don't use it properly. But they had the second most average attendance last season. So the fans are really showing up and supporting this team. They've got a manager in Graham Alexander who's had 3 promotions before in his career. And I kind of like teams who just missed out last season. They just missed out in the playoffs. They're going to be hungry and raring to go. That strong home record, like I say. We don't need them to win the league. We don't need them to go up automatically. Plus 600 just to win the playoffs. You've got a nice bet there for a season-long one at plus 600, Bradford City.
Excellent. And finish it off. How about a relegation pick in League One?
Yeah, I'm going Oxford to go down again. They just come down from the Championship. I think they can go down once more. They registered nearly a 20 million loss in the 2024-25 season. So now they've got a transfer embargo. They are not allowed to sign any players right now because of financial irregularities. Now, that might change before the end of the summer, but I don't like teams who've got problems off the field. Aaron Ramsey, a former Arsenal player, this is his first managerial job, so we've got a rookie in charge of them. He might do well. He might do okay. But I'm going to take a swing at Oxford to get relegated, plus 350. There's a lot of bad teams, I think, in League One, by the way. I think the bottom five or six is going to stink this year. There's going to be some teams we can bet against every week and do really, really well, Paulie.
Oh, really? Who would those be?
Well, I think the teams that have come up don't look good. Cambridge, Bromley, I think AFC Wimbledon are going to struggle. Okay. A few people are saying Barnsley might have a really bad season as well. In League One. But I think, you know, mid-season, we might look at that bottom five or six and think, wow,
okay,
we want to be betting against these guys every week unless they're playing against each other.
Who wins League Two?
Salford City, I think, are finally going to get promoted. a team that are well-backed in terms of resources, finances, stuff like that, plus 400 to win the league. They've been knocking on the door long enough now of Salford City. They've got a new manager, Peter Klamowski, who's managed out in Asia recently in the last 5 years. They're hoping he can get them over the line. Some really good signings. Macaulay Langstaff, he's my pick for top scorer in this league, plus 300. Uh-huh. Last time he was in League Two a couple of years ago, he scored 28 goals. He's also had seasons before with 41 goals and 28 goals. He's the signing that might take them over the line, finally get promoted. And I think when they do get promoted, they just smoke everyone away and win the league, Salford City.
How about Port Vale to be promoted?
A team that's got relegated, but they kind of knew they were going down from January. So they've been able to prepare themselves this season. Plus 250 to be promoted looks great on them. Really, their metrics last season, they were a mid-table team in League One in terms of how they performed, but they just got relegated. They've not lost anyone really of importance, and they're signing players from League One level or Championship level. So this looks like a good spot for Port Vale this season. I'm not going to say they're going to win the league, but I could see them top three, actually. I think top three is plus 600. But yeah, plus 250 for promotion because that'll include the playoffs.
All right, excellent. Another good way to bet that as well. And if you saw on the screen, he also likes Exeter City to be relegated at 5-1. That is League Two. That's the futures breakdown with the Championship, League One, and League Two. Now we got the card. Sides and totals coming up next with Meat Man Steve Wiss coming up on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to have soccer back, and we're doing the lower league preview with the Butcher, Steve Wiss. Next week, the Premier League gets underway. We'll check in with him again next week for a hardcore preview with the Prem as well, and a bigger menu with what the books offer as well. But again, DraftKings, FanDuel, Will Hill, and Caesars do an excellent job of offering the lower leagues, English Championship, League One, and League Two. And we roll on with the Meat Man, Steve Wiss, because we win pod at Meat Man Soccer on X. He's on the Progressive guest line. Ran through the futures. Now how about some sides and totals? Let's go back to the Championship League with an under with Bristol City and Millwall on Paramount Plus Saturday morning, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Why the case for under 2.5 goals, Meat Man?
How about the nil-nil detector ringing out all first right. week here? Yeah, plus 700 I think you can get nil-nil here. Under 2.5 goals, Bristol City, Millwall. Now, Bristol City have got a new manager, Michael Scubala. He's just led Lincoln to promotion from League One to the Championship, but he's jumped ship. The key stat was last season for Lincoln. Lincoln had the fewest ball possession of any team, but they still got promoted. Now, possession in soccer is a much debated thing. You could be like Barcelona and have about 70% of the ball, or do what Lincoln did last season and not have much of the ball. We've got two managers here who don't want the ball. Like Millwall last season only averaged 47% possession. So you've got a situation, a bad matchup, as I would call it, for both. Nobody wants the ball. Both want to counterattack and get in behind the opposition. They're not going to be able to do that because it's going to be deep. And that usually leads to stalemate. So for me, under 2.5 goals at minus 110, Millwall, even in pre-season, have had a lot of unders. Bristol City lost last week to Warsaw in the Cup 1-0. I think we're going to get a really tame start. And if there is a goal, it's probably from a set piece or a penalty. So I like the under 2.5 to start things off, minus 110.
All right, 7:30 in the morning, Eastern, 4:30 a.m. Pacific out here. We start the day with Bolton Wanderers, who are promoted. They come up to the Championship League. They take on Preston. How about Bolton Moneyline plus 120?
First week, always look at promoted teams to do well. They've got a bouncing feel-good factor. The fans are feeling brilliant. And Bolton, I think, could be one of those teams. At home first week against Preston, they're a plus money play to beat them. The stadium's going to be rocking. Bolton are a club back on the up again after a few dismal years, but they're definitely trending upwards. I think they're going to be fine this season. Preston could be a candidate to go down. They are definitely one of the teams on my shortlist to be relegated. Bolton, 13 wins at home last season, just 2 defeats. I think they can get off to a flyer here against a poor Preston team and win. I could see them winning quite well, actually. I think I rate Bolton. I think they've got a lot of momentum heading into this season. So plus 120. I thought they'd be minus money to win this one, Paulie. I'm jumping on this all day long.
All right, let's go to League One. And you're high on Bradford, as we just talked about, and Peterborough United. They've been involved and they've been a high-scoring club, it seems like, the last 3 years. Bradford, money line, $1.50.
Simple play. Yeah, home win for me. And Peterborough, you're absolutely right, Paulie. They're kind of one of the most predictable teams you'll get in any of the English leagues because they concede so many goals. 14 away defeats last season. Ooh. Now, they did win a few games, but they only had two ties, and that kind of sums them up. When they're bad, they're really, really bad. And I expect them to be bad here because, I mean, I mentioned that Bradford home record at the top of the show. It was simply superb. The third best in League One last season. Really well supported. They're a team that got off to a great start last season as well, Bradford. That's why they ultimately got in the playoffs. So I think we can back them with confidence in Week One. Minus 150 on the money line. This is best bet material of the whole weekend.
Good. All right. Thank you for that. MK Dons. That's Nigel's club. They come up now. They get promoted to League One. They take on Oxford, who you said you're going to have a lousy year. How about MK Dons against Oxford in League One also Saturday?
Again, MK have come up, just got promoted, and you can get them here, plus 150 on the draw no bet option. Because Oxford, I mentioned them, I think they could struggle this season. You've got a clear case of a team with momentum against a team that doesn't really know what's going to happen to them this season. They'll be nervous. Whenever a team gets relegated, you are nervous, ultimately, unless you really sign great players. But Oxford have had the transfer embargo. They've not been able to sign anyone yet. So MK Dons here look a great plus money play. You know, unlike Oxford, they are pretty well run. They've got money to spend and they look in excellent form heading into the preseason and the start of this new season. So draw no bet means you get a full refund, a full push. If it did end a tie, I don't want to put off anyone thinking about just straight money line here on MK Dons. And you can get nice odds on them here, but let's just have that draw security. But I think they can catch Oxford cold first week. MK Dons to start the season with a bang.
All right. And one play in League Two. This is Gillingham against Walsall. How do you want to play this one?
Yeah, I'm going draw no bet again here on the away team. Walsall, plus 125. I watched Gillingham against Luton last week, more as a sort of a research into Luton Town, more than anything. But what actually caught my eye was how bad Gillingham were. They looked awful. They stunk the place out. Uh-huh. Okay, they were facing League One team who's going to do well. But in the space of a week, they have got to really improve, I think. And immediately I was thinking after that match, I'm going to bet against them in Week One here against a Walsall team who had the sixth best away record last season. The season before that, they had the fourth best away record. This is the team that travels well in recent years. And I think Walsall will be knocking on the top 10 door, to be honest with you. Gillingham, a bit of a nothing club, really. They're quite boring and they'll end up probably somewhere around 15th to 18th. Probably safe, but nothing remarkable about them. And yeah, I didn't really like what I saw last week, Paulie. I know it was only the cup. I can't get it out of my head how bad they were. I've got to oppose them here. Walsall draw no bet plus 125 looks a good away dog.
So next week, the Premier League starts. And we'll do a hardcore preview with that with you next week. So you mentioned the Championship League, a lot of times that a team that gets sent down goes right back up. How about two of the teams that were promoted, Coventry and also Hull City? How bad could Hull City be that they weren't even that good last year, but they caught some breaks, got lucky, and somehow found their way into the playoff and then shocked the world and won the damn thing? How bad could Hull City be?
There's a potential they could be really bad because last season, you know, their metrics had them in the bottom five, bottom six. In fact, on expected points, I think they had the second fewest expected points of the season. But, you know, let's have we'll have a deep dive into their transfers next week. They brought in a lot of young players from Europe who they're hoping they're sort of gambling on is going to improve. But it's going to be tough for Hull to survive. Coventry, in my initial feeling is I think they could go well. They could do what Sunderland did last season. Where everyone was like, Sunderland are going to go down. And they ended up, 55 points, and they've got into the Conference League. So I think Coventry's points totals at 34.5. That looks I think that's an over for Coventry City. I think of the three teams coming up, they're the ones most likely to survive. Ipswich, they've become too much of a yo-yo team for me, and I think they might struggle as well, although they've got a new manager. But yeah, Coventry are definitely in a good place. They seem much better run. They've got a decent manager in Frank Lampard now, and I'll be looking to get with them. But Hull City, I mean, if they avoid the bottom three, then miracles might be happening, Paulie.
All right, my man. Great to talk to you. Good luck this weekend. We'll catch up with you next week. And it's great that lower league soccer and the Premier League coming back already. Thank you. An excellent job with the World Cup, too.
Thanks, thanks, Paulie. Take care. I'll see you next week. Looking forward to it. Premier League, bring it on.
Check out his Because We Win pod. They do an excellent job, Nigel and the crew, and Meat Man Soccer on X. I was missing a zero. What got me into soccer, 2015, Leicester City won the Premier League 5,000-1. There were
what?
I saw two of the tickets. I think two people in the state of Nevada had it, the largest future hit in the state of Nevada. And one guy, I think, only had $20 on it. But at that price, it doesn't matter. And the first time we ever talked to Nigel Seeley Moose, he told a story where a guy hit the cash out button a couple matches in just to get a couple pints, what he cashed out. And he missed out on his five. Yes, they were 5,000-1 to win the Premier League in 2015-16. And they did it.
Wow. What did he cash out for? Do you remember, Paulie?
$5? $7? Yeah. One of the guys who did it early on, the first time we ever talked to Nigel. Like a guy he knew, he cashed out just to get a couple pints. And what he could have won.
That's insane.
I know. What could have been?
What he could have won at 5,000-1. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lottery ticket.
I still can't believe that happened. As Vardy had 24 goals and led the league. And what happened was just an upside down kind of thing where the top clubs weren't that good. And it's not like they put up, you know, didn't have a lot of points to win it either. But the improbable win that they were 5,000-1 and took it down in 15-16. And now they're stuck in League One. With what I said to Meat Man earlier, the wait is over. Get the college football betting guide, 6 preseason games tonight, by the way, as well. NFL guide also out there, but the college football guide, we preview every team, preseason top 50, Matt Eumanns, Paul Stone, top 10 rankings, power ratings, proven betting systems. Start today, just $9.99. Get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. An interesting update about the total with the Field of Dreams game coming up next on Follow the Money.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Third Field of Dreams game tonight on Netflix. In an hour from Iowa, Nola against Bradley. Twins are $1.10 at DraftKings, total of 8.5. From someone who is at the game. The eyeball handicap is that there will be a bunch of home runs, which there may be. But the wind has been blowing in for batting practice and the ball isn't going anywhere. Add in the chance of rain and maybe it stays under the total. Look at Nola's K prop. He's had 6 or more in his last 3. 6 tonight is plus money. 5 is minus $1.30. No ABS system in play today could greatly benefit his K total. That is a plus money angle as well with someone at the game. We've had a 9-8 and a 4-2 going back. We took 4 years off with site renovations, but it'll be fun to watch tonight, and there's a couple angles there. About a not so fast, my friend, with the total, with what's going on with potential rain and the ball's not going taken off in BP, and the fact that Nola should be able to get to 5 strikeouts.
Yeah, and I like the over 8.5 when you're looking at that game. I thought there was going to be some offense. And listen, wind can be tricky. It could obviously die down as the night goes along, and we'll see exactly. I think the ABS system and not being in place is an interesting one as well. Puts a little bit more of a importance on pitch framing here moving forward, and guys have obviously gotten quite comfortable with that. So maybe that upticks the Nola strikeout rate going into the game tonight against the Minnesota Twins out there in Iowa. But I still like the over. I still think we're going to get runs, even though the wind is blowing in during batting practice.
All of a sudden, Philly's 10-15 since the break, You wonder now if they can they might struggle. I have a hard time making the playoffs with Arizona, how well they're playing, and the Padres. Nola, last 11 starts after a Phillies loss, 0-5 with an ERA of 6. And again, most home runs allowed in baseball. Great to have the Field of Dreams game back, and that's coming up in about an hour. The Rangers just trying to get a split in Anaheim against the Angels. DeGrom, $1.50, 7.5 the total. He's had one good start, and he got lit up in another start against the Angels. But again, if they lose this game, they fall two games under 500, and the Detroit Tigers would pass them and be in the third wild card spot all of a sudden. So it's been a bad run the last couple games. What's happened to the offense? But they got to get right tonight, and it's got to start with DeGrom on the mound. As we've talked about many times on this show, for whatever reason, he has a tendency to give up a run in the first inning too. And that's the Mike Palmangle with the Twins, that 9 of the last 10 games, not counting Kramer. The Twins have a run scored in the first inning too. But any thoughts on DeGrom and Texas moves coming up?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think number one is I think Jake has shown his age. I don't think there's any doubt, you know, as compared to the pitcher that he once was. But the Rangers got no excuse. I mean, Paulie, we've gone through their schedule here moving forward over the next 4 or 5 series. I mean, this is a very advantageous spot. Now they're starting to play around with their food a little bit. And they need a victory tonight in order to split this series against the Angels, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, should never happen when you're battling for a playoff spot. But I think it's also an indicator of just what the American League is outside of a couple teams. It really is. I mean, it's a decidedly average league. We've seen it all season long, and at times below average where teams underwhelm you, and that's what you're getting here from Texas. So for DeGrom, even though it's not peak Jacob DeGrom, it's been hit and miss all season long in what you're going to get from him and from a dominant standpoint on that pitching rubber. I think tonight he's got to go out there and deliver for the Texas Rangers.
I think am I selling you on the Dodgers? You want to get in on the Dodgers tonight? How about it? Only $1.40? $1.40 at home against Milwaukee, who comes in stumbling. 8-8 last 16 and just swept by San Diego.
Well, signs are not good. Peterson joined us. You know, Hoops joined us a little earlier in the program and talking about the fact that, you know, this Milwaukee team is trending in the wrong direction. Look at the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they're closer in that rearview mirror right now in that National League Central behind the Milwaukee Brewers. They entered play tonight. Milwaukee 74 victories. The Cubs at 71. And Chicago went out there and addressed their starting rotation at the MLB trade deadline. But we touched upon it earlier, Paulie, in this game. I mean, Roky Suzuki has pitched really well as of late for the Los Angeles Dodgers, so he's turned a corner. I know this is not peak LA, but it is a Milwaukee team right now that's searching for answers after a lost series in San Diego against the Padres, getting walked off against San Diego as well. Give me the Dodgers tonight, laying the $1.37.
I'm with you. He's a 3-0 with a 1.88 since the break. They've also owned Milwaukee head-to-head regular season and playoffs. In the last 7 meetings, the Dodgers have held the Brewers to 13 runs from the incredible but true department, and that's the late game. Only 3 of them tonight in MLB. Look what's going on in the markets with the preseason and games half an hour away. Now, not only at Caesars, Will Hill, but at DraftKings, the Packers are 3.5 in the first half.
Wow.
And the Bengals are 7.5 in the first half now.
That is crazy. That, wow. I mean, people just can't get enough of Cincinnati. I mean, they just can't. I mean, they're running to go out there and bet on the Bengals. I'd say buyer beware. I don't know, Paulie, in these preseason games, you're going to get a lot of points. There's a lot of unknown here. It's not like it, I mean, I understand Cincinnati's going to play their starters, but you mean to tell me Detroit's quarterback play is going to be that bad against really vanilla defenses? You had a good quote from Al Golden, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, a little bit earlier in the show. Yeah, that's what they're showing in training camp. And what he hopes for during the course of the regular season, not necessarily what you're going to see tonight against the Detroit Lions. I think, you know, 7.5 points, and maybe I end up being wrong. Maybe this game ends up being 28-10 final or 31-13, whatever it might be. I would lean Detroit plus the points.
Detroit first quarter money line is 3-1. I mean, I think maybe that's somehow crazy. They go down, kick a field goal. There's a turnover, and look up, it's 3-0. It's 3-1 to lead a first quarter money line in that game. So 6.5 for the game, 7.5 in the first half. And then the Packers are 2.5-3 for the game and 3.5 in the first half. The Titans are 6 for the game. They are 4.5 in the first half in the late game against the 49ers.
Like yeah, I think Tennessee, we've touched upon it. When you look at Trubisky, when you look at Will Levis, when you look at the history of Robert Saleh and what he is, the preseason, what it's meant to him as a head coach, he looks at it being important. And I think that's where you have to look at motivations of players based on what coaches have done in the past, based on where teams are. And for Tennessee, obviously, they're looking for a culture change. They brought in Saleh to be the head coach, Daboll to be the offensive coordinator, one a former Jet head coach, one a former Giant head coach. You've got Cam Ward, year number two. And now you're looking at competition for that backup quarterback. And Levis, you know, if you're telling people that you're a top 32 quarterback in the NFL, the motivation is to put something good on film later on tonight against the San Francisco 49ers, not to vomit all over yourself. So you look at him and Trubisky, I think everything points to Tennessee. And obviously, as we've talked about, the line has moved the Titans' way as the week has gone along. And for the 49ers, injuries always seem to be an issue and rear their ugly head. And once again, not so many significant injuries, but bumps and bruises along the way. Injuries end up being a talking point for the 49ers, especially early on in camp.
So for Detroit, with no Goff, it's Altmyer and Josh Dobbs. For Cincinnati, it's Burrow, Flacco, Josh Johnson. For the Colts, Richardson starts, and it's Riley Leonard behind him, fighting it out for the backup with Danny Dimes. It's Tommy Cutlets for the Patriots, and then Morton behind him. Brissett and the starters will play a series for the Cardinals. No Carson Beck tonight. Slovis was good in the Hall of Fame game, but, you know, Moose would have lit him up with the defense they saw there. You know, Charlie Checkdown, the stuff was going for 20 yards. He was 9-10 in that game. Raiders, you go Cousins, Mendoza, and O'Connell, which is a good rotation. Raiders up to 3 and 41.5 the total. I expect a sleep induced. It's up to 38.5. Chargers and Texans now, which Thule loves the under, and the Texans are on a 15-3 under run in the preseason. That's up to 38.5. I think more of a overreaction, and maybe based on what happened last year again, where week one preseason games we saw a combined 45 points scored on average, and then we're 39.5 the total with Tennessee and San Francisco. But again, all these injuries, mass unit with the 49ers, and you got a ton of Levis and a ton of Trubisky night for Tennessee, up to 6. That was pick'em what that opened at. And as I mentioned, Tennessee -4.5 in the first half. Raider total 41.5. And that closes out the 6 games coming up tonight.
Yeah, listen, it's great that football's back. I mean, it's preseason football. We saw the Hall of Fame game. You know, we're going to see a slew of games tonight, slew of games over the course of the weekend. You got Jets and Buccaneers tomorrow night, Giants and Vikings Saturday afternoon to go along with a cavalcade of other games, Paulie. It's great. I mean, it's fantastic. It's interesting with these preseason, what you want to take away, what you want to learn, who's playing, who's not, who's sitting out. And then ultimately, where's the game sitting at in the third and fourth quarter, where you're having the back end of that roster playing a majority of the time, and exactly how does that look? So that's the intriguing aspect, where it could look really good early for one of your bets tonight and not so good late.
All right. Sounds good. Up next, what we're betting with In Pocket, and run down the final scores in Major League Baseball and a WNBA play, which we'll get to as well, as this team cannot get out of the headlines with what happened, and an insane travel story next on Follow the Money.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. I echo the sentiments of Moose. It's great to have the Field of Dreams game back. Fingers crossed that the weather cooperates. And it looks fantastic that they've started the pregame now on Netflix. Fingers crossed that we don't have rain. We get this one in. All right. Gave this out earlier in the week. $1.50 on a money line. Titans are now sky high, up to 6. 6 for the game. 4.5 first half. And if you want to come back, try to middle it, take 6 with the Niners. That's up to you. But put the mayonnaise in the coffee. Let's go Will Levis. You say you're a top 32 quarterback. Can you beat out Trubisky? Got a good battle there to back up Cam Ward. Browns money line Saturday morning against the Bears. No Caleb Williams. Ton of injuries with the Bears. And Watson will play the first half. Sanders will play the third quarter. And they will flip it in the next game. So everything you want, quarterback battle, new coach, and a team that doesn't care in the Bears. Cleveland should get it done on Saturday. That's the pending. To the new place, got to give them a shot tonight. I'm with Hoops Peterson. I'm with Moose. Why the Dodgers only $1.40 at home with Sasaki against the reeling Brewers, and he's been great since the break. And they've owned him going back. And they come in after getting swept in San Diego. And tomorrow, Fever Wings over 186. Listen to these scores with the Fever. 109-75, 110-107, 108-88, 123-88, 105-95, 112-98, 108-100, 90-86, 106-92. They are great offensively, number one offensive rating. You got the Stephanie White distraction with all this, which, you know, the tirade wasn't bad, but she got booed with the intro, and now the players got to come out and do another press conference. I mean, it's always something in this league always off the court business. So it's a good matchup tomorrow at home against Dallas. I think there'll be plenty of points, and they'll get whatever they want offensively in that game. Good luck, everyone.
All right, so as far as what I've graded out at, White Sox last night, a win.
There you go.
Come back with the win. And the Yankees with a victory over the Mariners last night in the Wednesday night game. They lost this afternoon with Fried on the mound. Great pitching matchup, him and Gilbert. But they lost 1-0, an early home run by the Seattle Mariners held up the entire game. As far as some of the pending plays here moving forward, my plays here moving forward. Twins and Phillies tonight in the Field of Dreams games. I'll go over 8.5. Even despite the fact rain in the forecast, wind blowing in, no ABS system. Stick to what I said earlier on, Paulie. Stick to my guts. I'm going to go over the 8.5 in the Field of Dreams games tonight, which I'm happy it's back. I don't know if I love Netflix's coverage, but I'm happy it's back. As far as the Titans, give me Tennessee laying the 6 against the 49ers. You have them on the money line. I'm going to lay the big number. I'll lay the Titans. Give me Saleh, Daboll, Levis, and Trubisky. Give me them laying over the San Francisco 49ers laying the 6.
New coach angle, 10-3, career in a preseason.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know you like the mayo in the coffee as well. And this is crazy. It's great to have it back. Bengals 7.5 first half. Packers 3.5 first half. Titans 4.5. It's awesome. Football season is here. Sharp money already moving. And here's how they see it. Exclusive data feeds from the four major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. And now the receipts. Every play logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live logs to 2021, all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime, no login, no paywall. They get their record gets audited daily, no steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. Jeff and the crew have been excellent and been with us since day one. Sharpplays.com. Okay. I've heard this from multiple people, and I know Mitch's parody account travels all the time, and he ranks airports and does a great job. And Luke said this during the break. You would know, Moose. How bad is the JFK airport?
Oh, terrible. They're terrible.
Worst?
It's like a roll of the dice.
Yeah, that bad?
For the airports, I haven't traveled across the country. So I've been to O'Hare.
How about Newark?
LAX.
Newark?
I would say Newark's a little bit better. You know, than JFK. If I had to rank the three like tri-state area airports, it would be LaGuardia, Newark, and then JFK. Or the other one is Westchester. Uh-huh. Westchester, but that's a small airport. That's the one the Knicks flew into after they won the NBA championship, because that's close to, you know, the Greenwich, Connecticut, and Westchester line. But Westchester Airport's a good airport, easy in, easy out, but it's small, not a lot of flights. But JFK is a disaster because it's tough to get into driving wise. You're going to face a lot of traffic. And then when you're getting home, like I, I took a flight into JFK maybe about a month and a half ago. It took me 2 hours to get home afterwards, sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic coming off a 2.5-3 hour flight. I mean, that's terrible. And then the lines when you get in. So to get in and get out, terrible. And it's a roll of the dice. Unless you fly out early, whether or not your flight is actually there to take off. I mean, that's the other aspect of it as well. So whenever you go into JFK, yes, it is as bad as everyone says it is.
We're getting a lot of this. It just seems what happened with Mike Palm and Luke and other tweets have just been, it's a nightmare to travel and all the issues people are having. So Luke was on vacation. He went on, someone got married for like the 10th time. I don't know. He's always leaving for a wedding. My return flight was canceled by JetBlue. We canceled the connecting leg JFK to Boston. I haven't heard a talk to anyone. Now no flight back to Vegas. Had to rent a car from New York City to Boston to make a wedding and rebook a return flight on another airline. The entire weekend has been 3 hour wait times or AI chatbots. I literally never thought I would be an airline Twitter guy, but here we are. One of 10 experience from them. Lands in JFK around 2:30 local time. Connecting flight boards at 3:15. The boarding begins, but after the first three groups, everything is standing still. No one getting on a plane or moving. After 20 minutes half boarding, they make everyone get off the jet bridge. They tell us new plane needed. The pilot found a problem. The flight gets pushed back to 4:15, then 5:15, then 7:15.
Oh, my God.
Guy sitting near us at the gate talked to a gate agent who said the plane had an odor. 25 minutes after hearing the new time was 7:15, they canceled the flight entirely, rescheduled for the next morning. Got to rent a car, drove from New York City to Boston in 5 hours, stopped at Pepe's on the way to make it worth it. Got to have the pizza. That's right. Should have got to Boston at 5:30. I got there at midnight. After arriving, I realized that they had canceled my return flight home. After 2 days of trying to call them, how long were the wait times? 3 hour wait times. Oh, my God. Super frustrating. The only thing that actually worked and got me a person quickly was tweeting at them in frustration. Producer Luke. Hell's bells.
I mean, that is as bad as it gets. Number one, but he went to Frank Pepe's for pizza, tremendous pizza.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is as good as it gets. I mean, that is on the ride up, charcoal, the old ovens. It's been the original, especially if you go to the original Frank. I mean, that's a good spot. So, but I would say, like, he's not wrong. Anytime you call a place now, Paulie, you
can't
speak to a human being.
I know.
There's no human beings.
I know. Well said.
You have to go. It takes you 20 minutes to go through the automated system where you have to repeat yourself 5, 6, 7, 8 times before you actually talk to somebody that's got a heartbeat. And then they always want to kick you back into the automated system saying, we can help you faster. No, you can't. The answer to that is no, you can't. Can you just resolve my problem? But Luke's story basically would tell you, I don't want to travel. I'm just going to stay home. I don't care who's getting married for a 10th time.
No kidding. Absolutely. Well said. What's your favorite pizza in New York?
Oh, in New York? I'm more of a Connecticut guy now. I would say John's Pizza. God. John's a Bleecker.
Yep.
John's a Bleecker.
I go to the one by Broadway, though. I always go to the one on Broadway. How about in New Haven? Why do you rank it in New Haven?
Yeah, New Haven. Yeah, New Haven, I think you got to go modern. Modern in New Haven.
Yeah?
Tremendous pizza. Yeah.
All right.
Modern's great.
Excellent.
Fantastic. It's hard to get into. Small place. Yeah. You got to wait hours for your pie, but it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pleasure the last 4 days. I appreciate you doing this. This was a ton of fun.
Paulie, I enjoy it. It's a blast. Great. Yeah. Great filling in for Mitch. Thanks for having me.
All right. You got it. Enjoy your weekend. Watch out for the Montauk Monster out there. Be careful. You never know what'll wash up shore, come up on the beach there. Jastrzemski in tomorrow. Mitch back Monday. Getting ready for football. Field of Dreams game. Primetime up next. How about this? Corey's fired up. Murray's fired up. You got live in-play wagering with the NFL preseason. And the Field of Dreams going to be a ton of fun. Then stick around with Dustin cashing out and VSiN by the books tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Kramer's back tomorrow in studio. Little slot machine talk, the football game, a ton of futures as well, and professional poker player David Baker on the show to talk NFL futures as well. Cash some tickets. Good luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow.